Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Just 5 days till Biden is sworn in. Meanwhile, tensions build. What Michigan's labor leader is saying. A tough time for postal workers. The challenges ahead. And today on the show, the latest from the American Legion and the Alliance for Retired Americans. Good afternoon and welcome to the Friday, January 15th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on various platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as Google Podcasts. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to kick things off with one of our regulars. Jeff Stouffer is his name. He heads up the communications division for the American Legion, legion.org, for complete updates. And we'll preview the February edition of the magazine. If you're a member, you should be getting it shortly. We're also going to talk about a statement that was released right after the rioting last Wednesday in our nation's capital by the national commander of the American Legion, James Bill Oxford, who condemned the attacks and called for law and order to be quickly restored in Washington. As he put it, the Capitol is the people's house. An attack on the Capitol is an attack on all of us. So we'll get into that as well. The stories are pretty riveting. One of them is titled the 6888. 6888 Central Postal Directory Battalion. That's her name. And this is a group of African American women sent overseas during World War II for morale purposes and primarily to deal with the massive mail backlog. And when they went there, I guess they landed in France, and they were told it was going to take about maybe 6 months to deal with it, to get the backlog taken care of. They did it in half the time. The other story is titled A Famous Man, and the guy's name is Famous. Private First Class Famous Lee Lane. Famous is his name. Somebody asked him, why did your mom name you Famous? And he looked at the individual and said, she thought that would help me out. Well, it turns out that this man is famous in so many different ways. I mean, he was a true soldier. He started as a mess cook, became a machine gunner in Vietnam. And sadly, he was killed in action. And for that, he was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross. But there's a whole lot more to the story, and Jeff's going to share that with us. And lastly, Still Great is the name of this story, written by Alan Dowd, who's one of the best writers in that magazine. From culture to economics to peacekeeping, Britain's role in the world is far from diminishing. And this has pretty much to do with Brexit. This is the, I guess the best way to call it is a divorce from the European Union. And there's been a lot of controversy over the years about this, and it's finally happened. But where's their place in the world? And that's what this story is all about. Rich Fiesta, on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans, will be joining us later in the show. And he can't wait for Joe Biden to be inaugurated next Wednesday. We'll talk about the mob violence of right-wing extremists that marched on the Capitol last week, and he was not far from there. The Georgia Senate elections means the end of Mitch McConnell's control of the Senate, and the Alliance is looking forward to halting the constant threats, and I mean constant threats, to retirement benefits and making progress on the issues most important to retirees, including, number one, ending the pandemic. Got to do that. Strengthening Social Security and lowering prescription drug prices. And there's one thing they have to turn around right away in his last couple of weeks of in office. Donald Trump screwed over 500,000 disabled elderly citizens. That's right, 500,000. And what they did, or what he did, directing his departments, and this was a rule governing who can seek and get disability benefits. So the bottom line is, when it was all said and done, 500,000 people got tossed off the rolls. And Rich is going to explain. He touched on it last time. And at that juncture, we didn't know what was actually happening and if it was going to go through. But he did it. He did it. You're old. You're disabled. Get out of here. That's the message we got from Donald Trump. We're not going to support you anymore. So Rich Fiesta will join us later in the show. You know, with the FBI warning of armed protests taking place in all 50 state capitals across the country, the Michigan AFL-CIO is stepping up to ensure that the state capitol and Michigan's elected representatives in Lansing are safe to conduct the people's business. They have to be very careful there because you know what happened. Some months ago, when all those protesters marched on the Capitol and the FBI uncovered that plot to kidnap and kill the governor. Well, just a couple of days ago on Tuesday, Ron Bieber, who's president of the Labor Federation, he comes from the UAW, condemned State House Speaker Jason Wentworth for undermining the rule of law with reckless comments, baselessly asserting that the Capitol Commission does not have governing authority over the Capitol building. The commission had voted to prohibit anybody carrying firearms on the grounds of the Capitol. Remember those pictures? They had like AR-15s walking around. Here's a comment from Bieber. It's time for leaders to stand up for the safety of our elected officials, their staff, the clerks, facilities, staff, journalists, all who work in the Capitol, before there's another tragedy. But instead, the speaker is making baseless claims that the bipartisan Capitol Commission's unanimous action carries no legal weight. It's already a dangerous time, and one of the first acts as speaker is to test whether the rule of law still means something in the seat of state government. He goes on to say, with rhetoric like this, it's not safe to be around the Capitol right now. And it won't be until all of our state's leaders can do the right thing and reject extremism and the big lie that got us to this point. Have you seen the National Guard troops in Washington? We have more troops there now than we have in Iraq and Afghanistan. You got to ask the question, what the hell has happened to America? I want to talk about the postal workers here. Mark Diamonstein is president of the American Postal Workers Union. There's four unions at the Postal Service, and the APWU is by far the largest. I believe at last count they had about 200,000 members. And there's been a lot of controversy with the mail over the last couple of months. A lot of it because of the guy that Trump put in office, and they got rid of the mail sorting machines because he said, well, the mail system is shouldn't be used for voting. Well, anyway, Mark reviewed all the accomplishments over the last years amid all the mess that you were watching and seeing reported in the media. He said a record 65 million people entrusted the Postal Service with their ballots, and we delivered. Let's listen. This is our video here that's courtesy of the Postal Workers Union. Let's listen here on America's Workforce.
As we look to the new year, let's reflect on what we accomplished together last year. We left no stone unturned to ensure postal workers were safe as possible during this terrible pandemic, as you proudly and heroically carried out your vital mission to our country. We mobilized and secured $10 billion of emergency COVID relief. Without your phone calls, petitions, and taking it to the streets, this critical lifeline to the Postal Service would not be law today. We sounded the alarm when the new Postmaster General implemented policies that delayed the mail and threatened the integrity of the elections. Thanks to our efforts, management temporarily halted their mail delaying policies, and a record 65 million people entrusted postal workers with their ballots. And yes, we delivered. We helped elect a new president who will no longer demonize postal workers and our unions. Finally, we ended the year with a landmark agreement that will see more than 5,500 new career clerk positions created, leading to an equal number of PSC conversions to career. Despite all we achieved, it was also a year marked by tragedy. Millions of workers have been flung into unemployment and poverty due to the pandemic. 350,000 people in this country have died from COVID, including 130 postal workers. We mourn their loss and pay tribute by continuing our common struggle to defend the public postal service, to advance the cause of labor, and to build a better world for ourselves, our families, and our communities. The new year brings many challenges. The pandemic still rages. The Postal Service remains under threat. Contract negotiations with the Postal Service will begin in June. The struggles for safe workplaces, adequate staffing, and respect on the job continue every day in every workplace. But we know nothing can stop us when we fight together, active and retired postal workers, united with our community allies. I look forward to working with all of you as we bring our continuing struggle for justice into 2021. Solidarity forever, sisters and brothers.
Amen. Mark Diamonstein, president of the American Postal Workers, talking about the year ahead. Lots of optimism there. Boy, they had a tough time last year. Really tough time. One more story here before we break, and this involves some organizing that happened toward the end of last year. More than 600 workers across all Housing Works locations in New York City voted to join the Retail Workers Union by an overwhelming margin. This happened 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd. The victory was the largest union election in New York last year and marked the end of 2 years of organizing by the workers for fair representation and a seat at the table. Now, a little explanation here. Housing Works, what are they? It's a nonprofit that works with people living with and affected by HIV or AIDS and homelessness. And the workers in the bargaining unit handle maintenance, legal work, casework, social work, healthcare, and retail at all Housing Works facilities. Coming here from Stuart Applebaum. He heads the Retail Workers. And he said the following: "We're proud to finally and officially welcome the 605 workers employed by Housing Works into our union. These workers experience a needlessly long fight to unionize their workplace. Their tenacity and fortitude never wavered in this unnecessarily long process, which, by the way, was stalled by their employer at every turn. Together, they are ready to win a strong contract that will only enhance their ability to care for the Housing Works community." Comment again from Stuart Applebaum, head of the Retail Workers Union. All right, we have to break. You're listening to America's Workforce, our segment with the American Legion, coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, AWF Union Podcast, and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-666-2185. You can find them online at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome. One of our regulars, been with us well over a decade. Jeff Stoffer is his name, and he handles media and communications for the American Legion and the American Legion magazine. Website is legion.org. And we typically start off our segment with a preview of the following month, and February is Black History Month, and they devoted many of the articles to Black History in America. But first and foremost, you know what's going on in our country right now, and I talked about it a few minutes ago on the show about the attacks on the U.S. Capitol, and that prompted a response from the national commander of the American Legion, who said, hey, you know what? This is the people's house. An attack on the Capitol is an attack on all of us. Well said. Mr. Sofer, welcome back to America's Workforce. And we were just talking off the air. I guess the best way to describe what's going on in America today is that it is a surreal moment in our history. That's the best way to describe it. Welcome back to the show. I'll let you pick it up from there. What's your perspective going forward, because right now Washington has more troops than Iraq and Afghanistan. Jeff, did you ever think this day would arrive in America?
Absolutely not. It is truly a profound moment in American history, and one that I certainly hope has had its moment, and we can get through the next couple of weeks without anything resembling it going forward. And I know that there is, you know, a lot of news and warning and expectation that more protests and activity and who knows what is planned, not, you know, probably not in Washington, D.C., but maybe in Washington, D.C., but across that state capitals across the country and in across the states. And, you know, just, you know, American Legion, you know, without question opposes anything less than civil discourse to resolve our differences. And that's just, as our national commander said in the moments of the invasion, the protest invasion and break in of the Capitol, so this is just not the way we do it in America. And, you know, our response was quick on January 6th. And then we followed with a call to action to lower the flag at the White House and all federal properties for the U.S. Capitol police officer who was killed, who was a veteran and a member of the American Legion.
Right.
On January 10th. So, and many of the states had already done so, but finally the federal flag went down to half staff, and we, certainly to all those who were defending the Capitol, which, as you say, Commander said, is the people's house. We, you know, extend our gratitude and appreciation for those who defended it and attempted to defend it in that melee. And I don't think I saw an image, I'm sure you've seen the images of National Guard and other soldiers sleeping on the floor of the Capitol building right now, where they're stationed and they're placed there. And I saw an interesting comparison that last time that happened was during the Civil War I think it was 1861, and Lincoln had called in. It was after the Fort Sumter attack, and Lincoln had called in the troops, the soldiers, to come and defend the Capitol. And I guess it was quite a crazy scene. They had soldiers in there kind of swinging from the chandeliers and cooking inside the Capitol, on the floor of the Capitol, inside the Capitol, and it was pretty nuts. So I think these guys are a lot more disciplined these days, and it was a different kind of, obviously different kind of military identity back then, but this is a time, I think, and it's one of those times that's really kind of hard to explain to, young people, and, that we have to, stand for law and order, which is written into the preamble of the American Legion Constitution, and that is in the oath of those veterans who join our organization, sort of make the oath that they're going to stand for it. And it's just not the way we do it in America, and certainly don't condone or appreciate any of that kind of nonsense. We made a similar statement, when there were violent protests last summer, and violent protests. I think it bears study that violent protest of the summer, violent protest over the inauguration, over the election, it's getting to be, after these two experiences, it's getting to be a little bit too much of the reaction. And I think that we're greatly concerned in the organization that people are not using the, civil means to express their differences,
I know there's a lot of frustration out there, and it's unfortunate too, because you've got the leader of the free world claiming that the election was a fraud, the election was stolen, and we've seen throughout this presidency how he's kind of riled up a lot of people. That's a sad part. And this has to be very uncomfortable for you and the American Legion, because what we saw last week was soldier against soldier. I mean, that cop that was killed, as you pointed out, was a military vet. And there was a Navy SEAL. ABC News had an interview with a Navy SEAL, and he kind of dialed it down a little bit. But it's like I said, the best word to describe it, it's for so many, it's uncomfortable, because a lot of these people did fight for their country, and now they claim to be fighting for it in a different way. And that's the sad part about this whole thing. I just hope and pray for the safety of the new administration and moving forward, that we can dial this down. We have to dial it way down and get back to normal, whatever normal is today. But well said, right, my man. You know what? Let's take a quick break here. I just wanted to get your comments on that, and then we can kind of switch gears and review the February edition. Okay? How's that sound?
That's great.
Jeff Stouffer on our live line. He's Media and Communications Director for the American Legion, legion.org. We'll continue the conversation with him. And later in the show, Rich Fiesta will be joining us on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans. Back in a few minutes. Again, you're listening to America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And again, when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. A 5-star rating would be greatly appreciated. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the Ohio Federation of Teachers, part of the American Federation of Teachers. In fact, Melissa Cropper, who heads the OFT, will be joining us next Tuesday. Right now, let's go back to our live line, rejoin Jeff Stoffer. Jeff is with the American Legion magazine, handles media and communications, and right now we're going to get into the February edition. Let's start off with the 6888. And once again, if you're just checking in with us now, the February edition deals with Black History Month, and so the stories all reflect that. Talk to me about this group. I guess some African-American women who went overseas to deal with the mail backlog. And apparently they were pretty effective, right? Right, Jeff?
Well, it's one of those stories. It's like I never heard of these of this unit of these people. And we found out about it because there were some people some members of the American Legion who were Black women who we kind of got word of it, that they were not just, you know, members, but fairly prominent members of the organization who were part of and or related to the unit, the battalion known as the 6888. And what's interesting about it for Black History Month, it tells a unique story because, you know, during World War II, largely, not entirely, but largely, African-American military personnel were served in non-combat roles. And then you've got this unit of, you know, of about 800, I think. I might be misquoting, but 800 in the battalion were there, all women, all African-American women, and they were extremely effective. They were the only Black women's unit deployed overseas during World War II, but they went there to solve a very big problem. In 1945, we had 7 million Americans in theater in World War II in Europe. And of course, and early 1945 was not a good time for logistics. And mail had backed up to the rafters, and people weren't able to communicate with each other. You know, pair families didn't know what had happened to their loved ones, and the soldiers didn't know that their family knew where they were, how to reach them. They weren't hearing from home. Their morale was low. The motto of this group was "No mail, low morale." And what they did was they went in and they literally cleared this massive backlog that they thought was going to take, you know, 6-8 months. They cleared it in 3 months, and then they did it so well. They got all kinds of accolades because they really went to work. They worked 24 hours a day, 3 8-hour shifts, doing nothing but just plowing through all of the mail that had stacked up in these various places. That was the 6888 Central Postal Directory Battalion, you know, and back in those days, this was an important service to get word from home and to get packages back and forth between the troops who were in theater at that time, 1945, you know, making their way through the Battle of the Bulge and into Germany and the kind of the final stages of the war. And it was really important that they were able to get those messages. And so what's up right now? Why is this? First of all, we are honoring right now the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II through a series of articles on World War II. And this was a good fit for Black History Month, we thought. But more than that, Congress, the House and Senate both passed legislation in 2020 to award the battalion the Congressional Gold Medal. And it passed both the House and Senate. It's going to have to be reintroduced in the new Congress, I think, unless it's signed in the next day or two. I think it could be, but by and large. And then what happened was we know the director producer of the Hello Girls, which was a documentary film about the women's group, women soldiers who went and served in World War I, who were responsible for basically managing a lot of the telephonic communications overseas. So he discovered this story while he was doing that research and started interviewing the last few survivors of that battalion and did a documentary film. And this documentary film has gotten a lot of awards. It's been in like 12 or 13 film festivals, won a couple of them for best documentary. And what's cool about it from our perspective, from the American Legion perspective, is a lot of these women who went over there and served in this battalion came home and they made military careers, had careers in the military, stayed in the military. So they were pioneers in black female military service and career service. And then others were, of course, also eligible to use the GI Bill, which the American Legion, you know, put together and fought for passage in 1944. And they used the GI Bill to, you know, get their educations, their college educations, and to go on and do as the Greatest Generation did. So it's a salute to that battalion, and then to recognize the fact that the Congressional Gold Medal legislation is still out there and will remain to be a priority for recognition of these women going forward. And hopefully there will be a few survivors left. I think there's only about 8 who are still living from out of the original 855. So, but the 6 AAA, I know a lot about, I've studied a lot about World War II. I don't know a lot about it. You can always be learning about it, but had never heard of them. But it's really kind of it's a fascinating story, and it's not only a story about race and women and everything like that, but it's an important story about the number of important functions that had to be executed by military personnel during World War II, you know, that we take for granted today. Mm-hmm. You know, it took massive numbers to take care of some of these big issues.
Yeah, there's a great picture of the women sorting the mail going back to 1945. In the February edition of the American Legion magazine. And to your point about the documentary they did, I see there's a website if you want to get some more information. It's LincolnPennyFilms.com. That's a documentary on the 6888, LincolnPennyFilms.com. I got to check that out. Fascinating story. All right, let's move on to a famous man, and that's his name, Famous. And this takes us to Vietnam. Talk to me about this one, because this is a guy I started out as a mess cook, and then he ends up on the battlefield. Talk to me about this one, Jeff.
Right. Well, I learned about this Keith Nightingale, Colonel Keith Nightingale, who retired last summer, was inducted into the 82nd Airborne Hall of Fame. And when he was speaking to the group and everything down at Fort Bragg, it was at the time when all the racial tensions were going on, and he just delivered this impromptu remembrance of Famous Lane. Famous Lane was from Poplar Bluff, Missouri. He was a very quiet guy, and he was a big guy. He was a big, strong guy who just did his job, smiled, and took his share of racial slurs and things like that, as he was a mess cook. He worked in Chow, and he got the name Famous. Keith had asked him how he got that name, and it was, he said his mother had given it to him because she thought it would help him to get somewhere in life, and he did indeed become famous. He was part of a unit that went to the Dominican Republic, and a lot of people don't remember the conflict in the Dominican Republic, but in the 60s we were there, and he was this mess cook, but he was big enough and strong enough that when there was an air assault, that he got up and he was able to wield a 50 caliber machine gun. So if you heard, a 50 caliber machine gun is a big gun, hard, and you don't ever hear people carrying a 50 caliber machine gun, but he was able to handle one on the top of a building during this assault, and he shot down a plane, an enemy plane. You know, the mess cook got up and handled the 50 caliber and shot down an enemy plane that was firing on their position. So
wow.
That was all well and good, and it was an interesting story, fascinating, and he said didn't mind that, and he went back to working in the mess hall. So he comes, goes back to Fort Bragg and ends up getting deployed to Vietnam in the battles there. He ends up going, and he found out that there wasn't much need for a mess cook in these field units that were out on patrol. And so he asked if he could be a machine gunner, if he could be a combat machine gunner. And he got, they approved him to assume that role. And, they were pinned down in a very, awful spot in Vietnam, and Famous had been quietly, you know, enduring, you know, the slurs of some of the soldiers, and two of them, were especially harsh on him. But those two got out into the field, and they got surrounded, and they were hit, and they didn't know what to do with it because they couldn't get out to him because they'd have to go through heavy fire to get there. So Famous Lane put down his machine gun, and he ran out into the field. And he was big enough, strong enough, that he could grab both of those men, put them under his arms, and drag them back to safety. And on his way to doing that, he got hit. He got shot and killed in the back as he was dragging those two guys back. And those were two of the guys that probably had different opinion about their African-American comrade after that experience, because now he's on the wall. And it was a moment that Keith explained with, you know, vivid clarity, because he knew Famous Lane. He'd served with him and told the story. And I mean, you could have heard a pin drop when he told how the story unfolded, and he did it in such an impromptu way. I said, Keith, I want you to just write that story and tell us what happened here. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I think the Vietnam War was a real turning point, because a lot of that kind of thing happened. I know the story of Rocky Blyer, and there's hundreds of these stories where white soldiers were saved or collected up and brought to safety by black soldiers, and the relationship I think was sort of the beginning of a new future for combat military understanding. You know, and the kind of the leveling of the playing field between the races. But this was one of the best illustrations of that I've heard. And so we hired Matt Hall, who is an illustrator, who did the Medal of Honor video game series, and he's done a lot of illustrations for us, to do a beautiful illustration of Famous Lane saving these two men. It's one of the best pieces of art that we've had in the magazine for a while.
Incredible story. Those of you listening, if you go to Washington, certainly not now, maybe give it some time. Famous Lane is inscribed on panel 06E, row 124 of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. Do check that out. A famous man, the title of that story. All right, we just got a couple of minutes left here. one more story to preview, and this one written by Alan Dowd, still great, and it deals with Britain's role in the world. And a lot of people were skeptical because of this Brexit thing and their being severed from the European Union. So if you can, in a nutshell, tell us what you think about Britain right now, Jeff.
Well, you know, here at the end of the year, they basically set the deal that here's what Brexit is. You know, Britain is now officially out of the EU. Of course, this was voted on a couple of years ago, and they were planning, but all of the conditions and the way in which Britain will continue to operate as a sovereign country, not attached to the EU or and not a part of it, is sort of the blueprint that they've established. And, you know, you look at the conditions, the changes, and I'm not entirely sure that it's going to have a great deal of the. I do know that if you're a British employee or a British worker, you have to have a work visa now to work in another country in the EU. There's a few other pieces of this, and Britain is now free to negotiate its own trade deals on its own without EU approval or you know, blessing. And yet, you know, you look at the relationship between Great Britain and the United States, and really, again, this came as a result of World War II, when the United States and Great Britain fought together in defeating Hitler and in the European theater. They fought together. American soldiers were under Great British command. British soldiers were under American command. And all that did was, I think, since then, you can look at the way in which Great Britain has stood by the United States and all kinds of, by and large, this piece focuses on military alliance with the United States, which, you know, Winston Churchill really propped up. That was one of his big messages. And by and large, you know, you have to look at it. And, you know, the Great Britain has fought alongside us with, again, in the global war on terrorism. Alan does a good job of going through all of those military support activities, acts of diplomacy, economic relationship. And, you know, considering just about 250 years ago now, we had our great war to get independence from Great Britain. So
yeah.
how things change. But by and large, it's a statement about, you know, how Great Britain has stood alongside America, and that this change in its role, it's from the EU to operating more sovereignly, is certainly not going to be, we understand it not to be something that we're going to worry about in terms of the relationship with the United States.
All right, we'll leave it on that note. All contained in the February edition of the American Legion magazine. And for complete updates, go to legion.org. You take care, my friend. Be safe wherever you are. And we'll talk to you next month, all right?
That sounds great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Jeff Stoffer heads media and communications for the American Legion magazine. For complete updates, go to legion.org. Quick break. When we come back, Rich Fiesta on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans. Once again, you're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes Liuna to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter. And that would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the North Coast Area Labor Federation, part of the AFL-CIO. Speaking of which, the AFL-CIO is pretty much barricaded in Washington right now. Let's go to line number two. And joining us is Rich Fiesta, who is Executive Director of the Alliance for Retired Americans. Their offices are in the Labor Federation building, but I guess you can't get anywhere in Washington. Rich, welcome to the show. Maybe you can give us a scene setter here on what we have, like an armed camp there, right? Is that the truth?
Well, the security is much more extensive, and areas of D.C. that are normally put under security for inauguration, the perimeter, the footprints have gotten bigger. So this is the largest mobilization in that respect that we've ever had before.
Unbelievable. Where were you when the rioting happened last Wednesday?
I personally live on Capitol Hill, so it wasn't too far away. We're a few blocks away, but most of it, as you saw, was right there on the Capitol grounds.
Do you fear for your safety right now? I mean, although there's 20,000 troops there, you should feel pretty safe.
Yeah, there's been either that or there's been a run on camouflage at the local Army Navy store. There is much more security, much more a larger footprint where the fencing has gone around, both in the downtown area where the AFL-CIO building is located and in the area around the Capitol as well.
It's just so sad that it had to end this way. I mean, you and I had many conversations for the last 4 years on what Trump has done to workers in general, in your case to seniors. And in fact, I just read the story at the top of the show about getting disabled seniors off of Social Security on the disability insurance. Now, did that actually go through? What's the status of that?
Yeah, that was a regulation. As you know, they're just pushing regulations all across the government, all across the agencies. And unfortunately, that's been one, too, to make criteria for getting disability, which is hard to begin with. And, you know, we've talked before, there's this huge backlog of just getting a hearing from a claimant. And it's one of many things that the Biden administration is going to have to untangle in its first few weeks.
So apparently this is just another thing that Joe Biden is going to have to unwind here. Let's look to the future, because eventually we're going to have Biden in office. He's got a very, very aggressive agenda. And I know he is a senior citizen, so he's got to be concerned about issues for senior citizens. Number one, strengthening Social Security. Can you tell us what's on the table right now, Rich?
Well, I think immediately the COVID crisis and dealing with it in a rational way is at the top of the Biden administration's agenda. Getting shots out and into arms of people who need it, and obviously older Americans are near the top of that list. We also understand that an emergency standard from OSHA for workers who have to deal with the pandemic, which the Trump administration and its wonderful Secretary of Labor, Eugene Scalia, has refused to do for over the last year, that will be at the top of the list. So to give workers in the healthcare industry dealing with COVID better protections to make them safe so they can make the rest of us safe too. So there's just a long list of things that will get done regulatorily, and hopefully even more that can get done legislatively over the coming months.
What about lowering prescription drug prices? You know, that's a huge issue for seniors. What do you think will be happening there?
Yeah, well, he was Senator, then Senator Biden had a terrific voting record on our Alliance for Retired Americans voting record, and he, as a senator, had always voted for efforts to allow Medicare to negotiate drugs, to re-import drugs safely from Canada, for example. So we expect in a legislative package all of those things to be in it as well soon.
Well, I want to congratulate you. I've been, for the past couple of weeks, been saluting all the organizations, the unions, organizations like yourself on what you did in Georgia, because that was the game changer. The important thing, there's been a lot of good legislation that came out of the House. I want to say like 400 pieces of legislation, and just about every one of them got a roadblock from a guy by the name of Mitch McConnell. Now, Mitch will no longer be the head guy, right? Because they're going to have, what, the two Democrats in Georgia, and then Kamala Harris will be the tiebreaker. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, that's right. The two Georgia senators should be seated within the coming week. And then, as the Constitution says, the vice president, which will be Kamala Harris, presides over the Senate, so in a 50-50 tie, she gets to be, in those tie cases, the 51st vote for the majority, and that we can organize the committees, we can move legislation, we can get the Biden-Harris nominees confirmed. It's going to be a much easier way to get things like lower drug prices, for example, to get better OSHA regulations, to get local and state governments the help they need. That's yeah. been refused to them by McConnell as well. Those are just three easy things we can do quickly.
We just got to be very, very aggressive on these, because we got a 2-year window before the elections in 2022. And you know there's going to be some pushback. And you know, with the political divide in America right now, it's not going to be easy. But we have to move forward on these issues. But again, on Georgia, can you kind of recap what you guys did to make this happen? I mean, a lot of people are saying Georgia will never turn blue, but guess what? It's blue. So maybe you could tell us what you did down there.
Sure. At the Alliance, we have about 60,000 retired union members in Georgia, so we modeled them to find out those who needed a good touch to do a GOTV, get out the vote effort on them. We sent them each two pieces of mail. We had a statewide teletown hall with a former congressman, mayor of Atlanta, UN ambassador Andrew Young, pioneered the civil rights movement, the real icon in Georgia, and that went very well for us too. And we had a phone bank virtually from around the country. So we had Alliance members calling from all over the country, east to west coast, to our members in Georgia, reminding them to vote and where to vote and how to get out and where to go for information if you were a Georgia voter. So our members were just really enthused nationwide about making the result that happened in Virginia, getting out the retiree vote.
I'd say it was a great effort, a collective effort, and one that will be done again and again and again. I know a lot of people learned on this, especially in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, because of the pandemic, you couldn't do the normal things that happen in getting out the vote, but you did it. You accomplished it. Rich, I'm going to leave it on that note. All I can tell you is please be careful there in Washington. I know the next couple of days are going to be real dicey, and just think about the next administration. Move forward to be optimistic about all that, okay?
That's right. Appreciate that, Flash. And the next time we'll talk, it'll be the Biden-Harris administration.
Amen, brother. All right. Rich Fiesta. By the way, you can check him out on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter at rfiesta, A-R-A, rfiesta. A-R-E. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, LIUNA, that's the Laborers International Union in Minnesota and North Dakota, and the USW on MLK. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.